Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, and Lucy Freeman. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves.
Last decade.
Just last week. Oh, thank God for that. We'll just remind ourselves of last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
We began the week, fortnight, November. Who are all you people and is John Major still the Prime Minister? I have to confess that this monologue may be a trifle chaotic. Einstein said that time was the thing that stopped everything happening all at once, but as I've been drifting in and out of quite a lot of naps, coughing fits and high temperatures, everything does feel a bit as if it's all happened at once. So forgive me if the chronology is a bit wonky. Well, anyway, we began, as all bad things do, with Will at the vow renewal.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, I know. I'm going. That's what I mean. I'm going.
Lucy. This was about 48 days ago.
I know, but that's when I started from. But it's all right. I haven't done all of it.
Oh, for you. I was
hoping that the vow renewal was a COVID dream. But no, the Grundy vow renewal was a real thing with generators, a drive through the village, people tripping over cables, something old, something new, and something pissed, which was sadly the vicar. Clary decided she couldn't leave they turkeys to go to Paris, so they went too. And it's no joke trying to get a lateral flow test up a beak. Maya is getting a book called The Joyful Environmentalist. Presumably the catechising killjoy was sold out. Then I drifted back into a delirious sleep again and dreamt that Oliver, Ed and Alan were in a field trying to catch a turkey with some nettles and a bishop. Must have been the painkillers.
Can I just quickly butt in? I couldn't believe we weren't doing a podcast after that episode. I nearly cried. Because it'll stay with me forever. It was like George Galloway on Big Brother with Rula Lenska, wasn't it?
Cringy!
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Oh! By the way, before I forget, if you are a listener to The Archers in any scene in which Chelsea Horobin features, you are entitled to a copy of the Urban Dictionary, by the way, just so you can figure out what the hell she's on about.
I think of the Urban Dictionary of 2015, Lucy.
Yes. The child uses more slang terms in 1 minute than most teenagers do in a week. So next time she's on, just send your name and address into The Archers and they'll pop a translation guide in the post. Hinge and Bracket set off for Clarence House or somewhere to meet the real queen and get the royal award for hair. Linda had a pixie cut with highlights, courtesy of Chelsea, and Febreze squeezed Lillian in at the end of the day when his corns were killing, the dryer had fused, and Kelly Marie was being a proper bitch. So as a result, I like to think she looked like a cross between Debbie McGree and a pedestrian crossing. The donkey has faked COVID to get out of the mystery play. May I suggest a llama? Obviously, it would take fright at absolutely everything and gob at Joseph, but it would add a bit of light relief, which appears to be much needed when you've got Roy Tucker in a loincloth shouting up a hill and the rest of the cast wearing more highlighter and contouring than Tess Daly at GAY. Harassment has redeemed himself and Blake is on the road to recovery. The poshos tried to help and were useless. Even Jazza cocked it up, but Chelsea rode to the rescue like Princess Diana in Boohoo Bodycon and sorted it all out. Blake had a pretty intense interview with Harassment, along with a nice lady from a homeless organisation. She reminded Harassment to take it easy on Blake to such an extent that every time Blake paused for breath or shifted in his seat, Harassment kept asking him if he wanted a break and ushering outside into the teeth of a Force 10 gale. The whole thing took ages.
It was so stressful.
And I'm pretty sure that Blake would have agreed that the grey man was Desmond Lynham if it had meant Harassment would have stopped fussing. Anyway, well done, Chelsea, even if I don't understand a bloody word you say. Some lunatic has allowed William out with a shotgun again. Anyone else predicting Maya making a one-woman protest against gun Ooh. Sports by riding a donkey naked through the middle of the shoot while Martin Gibson takes pot shots at her from behind a hedge? Alan staggered off to conduct Bert's funeral. I never knew funerals ended with flaming sambucas off the end of the coffin, but I'm probably behind the times. He seems to be genuinely astonished and slightly aggrieved that he was in trouble for getting too rat-arsed to perform a religious sacrament. I'm really not sure he's got the hang of the whole vicar thing at all. Are we sure he has actually got the vicaring licence? Is it like in the 70s and he just borrowed his brother's or something? He was moaning about what a lot of work he had to do at Christmas. But yes, that is the point of you, Alan. What bit of this do you not get?
He'll be
asking for Sundays off next. In other news, Kate, a woman in her 40s, has a macrame wall hanging, fairy lights and a dream catcher. And presumably a poster of Morton Harkett and a mood ring. Tom and Natasha are now homelesses. Good job they sorted out Sawyers in time, as they can sleep in a pile of apple peelings. The longer this Hazel storyline goes along, the more I realise she's evicted half the village at one time or another. The characters all pointed it out to each other, but not one of them said, "It's almost as if every time everything's got a bit static, Hazel comes back and shakes us all up like a snow globe, so we all come down in different places." It's impressive, in an odd way. Not as impressive, though, as Natasha's spectacular bit of clopping when she went after Susan, like a misguided missile. A misguided missile up the clanger, it appears, which means that Bridge Farm will soon be echoing to the tiny footsteps of a little apple sausage. Yeah. Linda and Eddie had a lovely afternoon out at the donkey sanctuary. I'm not sure it was entirely realistic that you could just wander in, clamber into the field with the donkeys and wander away with one under your arm. It's a sanctuary, not Italia Conti. Anyway, we had lots of lovely donkey noises, all of which sounded like rusty gates opening and closing, and a load of guff about finding a donkey that had dignity and stage presence. Oh, the only reason you have an animal in a nativity is the vain hope that it might poo somewhere or run amok. Bugger quiet dignity. And it's the same for Hazel. We only want her here to stir up shit and run amok. And she will. Goody. If Hello Helen has been put off again for another Christmas, then the least we can look forward to is Hazel being driven out of the village by Kate, Hilda and Peggy, threatening her with sharp sticks and more lentil casserole. The end.
Oh, that was a lot of... that was a bit jumbled up, actually, Lucy.
That's what I said!
It was very good. It was a bit like you were trying to work it out yourself.
Was it really like that, Harriet?
It's a little chicky. It was really funny. But you've got me all confused now. Because I'm over the 3 weeks and I stayed awake for them. This week was only Bridge Farm, as far as I remember.
Yes.
But I liked that you remembered all the other stuff because I'd completely forgotten. basically really important stuff. A lot of silliness.
A lot of silly waffle, really?
Well, there was quite a lot of waffle. Yeah, the donkey sanctuary was a bit silly. And then there was a similar thing with the turkeys and Hazel, wasn't
it? Yes. But Alan's drunk acting was terrible.
Oh, I know, but you know, because it's like the basic drama school. Oh, he's a great actor, but you know, like basic acting, to act drunk, you have to act sober, don't you, basically? Mm-hmm. You have to.
Yeah.
That's the note, isn't it? Like you have to, trying so hard to sound sober.
Yeah.
But he was doing drunk vicar.
Yes. He really was. It was like listening to Derek Nimmo in 1975.
I didn't mind it, though, because I really enjoyed the sort of farcical, sweet, folky tone of that episode.
Yes. Who did the service, then?
Oliver. Oliver did it.
Oh.
Because I guess it wasn't a legal thing anyway. Mm. So Oliver did it, but we didn't hear it. It basically, there was quite a lot of build-up, and then
it was whoosh, they were on Eurostar.
Yeah, and yes. That made me really stressed because Eddie was like, come on, love, we're leaving. We got our trainer at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, but hang on a minute. What time is it now?
Yeah.
Surely it's only, it can't be under 4 p.m. How are they going to get to Eurostar? You know, with an hour to spare. Yes. It really made me quite jittery hearing that.
And also, would you ever let anyone pack for you? Ever? For anything?
I actually would really appreciate it if anyone bothered packing for me. I'm always packing for, you know, five other people.
I love it when they say to... when they say to you when you get to the airport and they say, did you pack this case yourself? People are like, yes, I'm a woman. Of course I did. I packed every other bugger's as well.
Yeah, exactly. Are you criticising my packing?
Yes. Why?
I wouldn't mind if someone packed. I think that's quite nice, actually, because I don't care what I wear or what I look like, or, you know, and you could always buy something if you need to. I think I'd love it if someone was like, okay, we're off and I've packed your stuff. You don't have to
somebody
do any
would
of that.
Bring my wrong foundation and I wouldn't like it.
But Lizzie, you'd be like really relaxed and holy, you wouldn't even need foundation. You could just like go natural.
Have you met me?
You don't wear foundation.
Of course I wear bloody foundation.
You never seem I look to wear
like,
makeup.
I look like I have recently been run over if I don't. The late Lucy Freeman I look like.
Also, I wasn't criticising your monologue, just saying.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. Hit a woman when she's down.
I wasn't starting our reunion on a real downer. Some criticism that I've been meaning to give for a while, actually.
But you thought, let's wait till she's got the Rona and then catapulted at her.
We went straight into the Archers and I meant to go straight into Lucy. It's so great to have you back. I'm so glad to be back. And as I was saying to you earlier, I loved our first week off because I think I washed my hair or something.
Week off.
But then I was a bit bereft last week.
Yes.
Yeah, well, sad. Because it's different when you listen to the Archers.
And you know you're not going to be yakking on about it.
Yes, there's sort of no point listening. So I didn't really.
No, but our job is we have to listen so other people don't have to, you see.
Especially
and then when we don't, it's like nobody's listening.
Exactly.
Nobody's listening.
Exactly. And also we need to store up facts.
Yes.
So that eventually we will be experts.
Yes. Probably when we're like 103 and no one's listening because we're both barking at each other in an old people's home.
But I'm sure everybody would much rather hear how you're doing and how Mr. Newbie's doing.
I am much better, Mr.
this is so much. So much.
That was poor timing. I'm sorry. That wasn't supposed to be melodrama. I am feeling a lot better. Mr. Newbie's feeling a lot worse.
Oh, dear.
But he's okay. Yes, he's
but you
right.
were quite bad.
I was not. It was not the nicest time I've ever had. Anybody, if you're thinking of postponing your booster or whatever, don't do it. Get all of the things.
You were so unlucky.
I was on the. I was the day I was trying to book my booster was the day I tested positive.
Oh, that is
and it
shite.
Is minging. It's a horrible thing to have. It is not just the flu. I've had the flu. This is crap. Go and get all the boosters and all the shots and all the everything you can get.
Well, yes. Even if it's not crap, even because I had it really mild, except I did lose my taste and smell for like three or 4 weeks.
Awfulness.
Oh, it's just so boring. As we were saying, it like, obviously this, you know, it's nothing compared to what some people go through, but it's
because you
real
can't
downer.
Even cheer yourself up with a cup of tea.
No,
or
exactly.
A packet of crisps, or a
you
chocolate
can't
bar.
Look forward to a glass of wine or even a nice meal. And imagine, like, if you've got that at Christmas. Imagine if you're still tasteless at Christmas. I mean, a lot of people are tasteless at Christmas, but in a very different way.
And I'm happily number myself.
You wouldn't be able to taste your own turkey.
That's probably no bad thing, to be honest. But anyway.
But anyway, no, I'm so glad you are a bit better.
Thank you.
And lots of love to Mr. Newbie.
Yes.
Because we were thinking of him.
Yes.
And pretty much everyone I know has got COVID at the moment except me. So good luck, guys. At least you've got it out the way before Christmas. I've got my booster next week.
I had some questions for you for bits that I wasn't sure whether or not I'd nodded off or whatever.
You coughed over them.
Yeah, exactly. Why is it now massively important, like vital, that Chelsea and Mia are friends? Because it went from being, that would be quite good, to then money changing hands and everybody being shouted at for not being friends. And I don't understand it.
No, that was what it went from. It just went from Will saying, and actually I thought that was quite sweet because, you know, Mia is, you know, her earnestness has got a bit irritating. And I thought, and Will was, I liked his honesty about it. And he was basically saying, you know, she is just a bit too obsessed and she needs to have more fun. And then Jazza was saying, and I don't know why Jazza is suddenly the primary carer for Chelsea. Tracy's just, and guys, can we still, even though I love Chelsea, can we still have Tracy? Can you?
Yes, it shouldn't be an either or situation.
I don't know. It shouldn't be Jazza and Chelsea or yeah. Jazza and Tracy. It should be Tracy and Chelsea and Jazza. Anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, they were just saying our kid they thought the girls would be good for each other.
Right. But it did remind me of, you know, when you went to go to a playgroup when your children are little and you get on really well with one of the mums and then you plonk your child down next to their child and go, right, play, be friends, because I want to talk to the mother, you know.
And you think, if you say be friends, they
won't
be.
You really do that when they're 19.
They need to sniff each other's bums first and, you know, do a bit of parallel play. But I thought it was quite, I actually felt sorry for Mia for the first time when she basically went, I don't even know why you're trying to talk to me because you know I'm basic.
Yeah.
And
on the I can remember that on the school bus when someone comes over to you and you think, oh, no.
They just feel, they pity me.
Yeah, or no, they're going to do it because they're going to take the piss out of me somehow.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did feel sorry for Mia. And also, I think yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because Chelsea is a really great character, but I think they don't want to, they're endangering themselves in making her a bit... Like, I don't know, maybe she just needs a bit more subtlety again.
Yeah.
Because she's a bit like, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think bring back a bit of the...
And also she's not... everything she's doing, like, you know, not talking to Tracy apart from on her phone. She spends the whole time in her room talking to her. That is entirely normal.
Exactly. I don't know why Jazz is getting him. Exactly.
No,
I mean, I suppose he's trying to prove that he's he wants to prove to Tracy that he's a reliable stepdad. But that's the thing. She's not doing anything naughty or rebellious as far as I can see.
No, she's going to college. She's doing her stuff. She's becoming a pillar of the village. She's saved a homeless man. That will do for Thursday.
She's given Linda a great pixie cut.
Yeah.
Lillian looks like Dame Edna, thanks to Fabrice. I was such you wouldn't like that thing. You should never, ever, 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 ever ask for a new haircut.
Yeah, when it's something important.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No.
Or just ever.
Yeah.
Because the hairdresser will quite rightly just want to have a little experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when the hairdresser persuaded my mum to have a fringe, and she was going to me, "No, I don't think." And I was going, "Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, you should just really trust him." And it was so awful. She looked like Julie Andrews in Sound of Music. Oh. It was like it was a cut like that, and Mum like barely get over it. Took weeks. Yeah, but that you can't go Maverick for the palace.
No.
And I thought it was a shame they didn't have the palace scene.
Yes, because we've had them on the road before. We've had Lillian and Linda at Chelsea, didn't we?
And seeing as they went,
I mean, the flower show, not the Horribin, but yeah.
Yeah, and seeing as they went and did that thing at Clarence House.
Yes. Yeah.
Couldn't they have? It's a bit of a
had Camilla hopping around in the background.
Yeah, they could have just been in the car park at Buckingham Palace or something.
I did quite like sorry, my memory, my memory's
Lucy.
Just non-existent.
Don't worry, that's why I'm here, dear.
Oh, what's the name of Linda's husband?
Lucy.
Yes.
Do you need a break? Do you need a break? Shall I get you a cup of tea? Shut up, Harrison, just let him speak. And then when he wasn't interrupting the woman, I think he needs a break now, Harrison. I was like, oh my God, this poor bloke.
They do infantilize him somewhat, don't they? I mean, I know he's vulnerable, but he's not, you know, he's not three. Have you pissed yourself, Blake? Do you need to bum wipe him?
Come on, son, I'll get a potty for you. Yeah. Come on. Do you need some more pants?
We won't watch. We will watch.
It was like they were trying so hard to make it right.
Everyone's going that the grey man is Vince because of the meat. He worked with meat. It's not nice, Vincey, is it?
No.
Tell me it's not nice, Vincey.
Oh my God, that made me feel a bit sick.
I know. I need a lot of reassurance this week. So nothing nasty is going to happen, and it's not Vince is it?
No, it can't be.
Okay, good.
No, okay. And the grey man is still scary.
Yes.
That is scary.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Cuckoo. Secrets. We have secrets.
We do. We just have secret things that we're not telling you about.
I just told you who I fancy in the playground.
Do you? But I am a bit sad because I fancy him too, but now I can't say anything.
Vince, anyway. It's Vince. Anyway.
Can I ask, I have another question.
Oh yes, do. I like that. I'm the oracle suddenly.
Why did Natasha,
yes,
immediately not think that it was Fallon? Because Fallon was the one that had the grudge against her.
No.
About the tea room. Yes. About losing the tea room. So why did Natasha not immediately think it was Fallon that had told Hazel? Because when she said, I know who it was, I thought, oh, here we go. She's going to go and have a pop at Fallon.
We all did. We all thought, oh, poor Fallon. She didn't mean it.
Because we've never heard Susan have a go at Fallon about leaving deliveries or anything.
It made me cross because, to be honest, if you think about it, no one's going to, you know, why would anyone, just take a chill pill, Tashi. Mm. Anyway, but then the second thing was it made, Susan was so victimised this week for basically being like I felt there was that she just Natasha immediately went over and gave her an absolutely uncalled for mouthful.
Yeah.
And then also basically Johnny and everyone was laughing at her when her she was so sort of vulnerable this week.
Yes.
I felt so sorry for her because it was like the bridge farm, they're always laughing at her from their smuggling high horses, aren't they?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, you look so stupid in a hairnet. But, you know, oh, bend over, Susan. I'm going to do a photo where you look like a milkmaid.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't like that, but it made me really, I just didn't like any of that.
No.
And then Natasha was horrible, I've liked Natasha recently and it made me dislike her again.
Mm.
I got upset.
Yes, me too. And I do think, you know, I think Pat and Helen and Tony to a certain extent, they're just so smug
and God, so obnoxious.
You know, when Pat and Natasha were arguing about Natasha not having a space at for summer, whatever it's called at Bridge Farm, I was thinking, I don't care about either of you. I don't have any. I don't want either of you to win this argument because I hope things go wrong for both of you because I don't like you.
I think that's the trouble. Pat's becoming more and more brusque and unlikable.
Mm.
Although I did enjoy it when she was on the phone with Hazel.
Yes,
and she was so brusque, but even
as Linda said, brusque. Mia, at the time, my tone may have been a little brusque. Who says that? She's going to start somewhere in the toilette.
I love it when she does that. Or her, whenever her or Susan does a bit of foreign. Yeah, but Pat's vocal with Hazel is like, if you listen again, it's so beautifully performed by Pat. It's so scathing, but also she's no match for her. But she's just becoming more and more unlikable. Their whole family are.
Yeah.
And Natasha, she'd won us over, hadn't she, recently? Can't remember why.
But when she was mean to Susan, and then when she said she was pregnant, I just thought, ugh. I didn't think, oh, hurrah, that's sweet or that's nice or anything. I just thought, ugh.
I just thought, what, well, now we're supposed to feel sorry for you?
Because, yeah.
You know, I had a little pang because I thought, you know.
Didn't we have this before? Because it seems to me that at Christmas time, with monotonous regularity, we have the homeless, the pregnant lady, what is a homeless? Because we had that with Ed and Emma in the caravan.
Yeah, but she's not going to have unless she has a super premy baby, she's not going to have the baby in time for Christmas.
No, but it's like pregnant woman in the, you know, it's again, it just feels a bit tropey.
No, but I think if they were going to do that, they would have they would have given her, she would have been more having the baby.
Oh, okay.
That would make sense. Yeah. I mean, Mary had the baby on Christmas Day. That's a fact. It was like
that was really bad timing, wasn't it? Because everything would have been shut.
Exactly. Nightmare. And hospitals are always busy on Christmas Day. But I don't know if... I think that was just us all going, sort of Christmassy story. But that can't be right unless she's already, like, you know, 5 months pregnant. But I doubt
And
it.
Also, did anybody believe that Hazel was now nice for longer than 2 seconds?
I actually did for 2 seconds. I did keep wondering. And then I did actually, every so often I did think, oh, maybe she is like genuinely sorry for what she's done. And then obviously she was, but do you think that she's, what do you think, what's her game?
Well, it's something to do with the rewilding. She's realised there's a money-making opportunity in it.
Oh, do you think? And, well, I wondered if... Yeah, sorry.
And yeah, and I think that's why she wants it to be the Jack Woolley rewilding farty pants.
Daddy's rewilding.
Daddy! Ooh. So that she can somehow...
She's a bit like you, Lucy. Oh, I just need to stop for a breath.
That's what I was worried I was going to be like. You know, so he just a little bit breathless.
Rex made me laugh and he went, "You've had COVID?"
No one well, to be fair, she is the only person in the whole of Borsetshire.
Exactly.
Because they don't, they're all deniers. They don't believe it's a real thing.
Exactly. They've got a real COVID person in their midst now. They're going to have to go get their vaccinations.
Yep.
Otherwise, they'll be like, "Hey, Hazel." I wondered if she'd lost her money somehow. Like, is she now down on her luck, which is why she has to take over the flat? Yeah. And has
so the new house doesn't exist. The new house that they're doing up.
Exactly. Ah. That was what I thought.
Well, it's definitely something to do with the rewilding, and she's wondered if there's any dibs going. She wants to make sure that her name's on it somehow, which is why she's going on about daddy's. Well, it's daddy's money.
Because that's why it was sort of confusing, because you thought, well, you know, if she has been really ill, which clearly she has, then, you know, and maybe she did genuinely want to come back to her, you know, bosom of her family.
Peggy's withered bosom. Yes.
Dear Peggy. Dear Peggy.
My favourite bit was Kate going, "Are you vegan?" "No, well, I am." The thing is, because you can't kid a kidder, and because Kate has done so much sort of falsifying of her own persona to manipulate it, she can see exactly what she's doing.
And so could Eddie. Even though that turkey scene was a bit odd. He was like,
I was thinking as well, bloody hell, if they, you know, they clearly haven't got the approval of the vegan board on this when they're wandering around with a turkey stun gun, you know. Do you want to go? I was thinking, I mean, I eat meat, and I found that a bit
it was a bit weird, wasn't
a little
it?
Bit gruesome. Yeah,
and I didn't really I did guess what they were basically just like scaring her, weren't they?
Yeah,
like putting her through a miserable time.
Yeah, and turkeys are revolting, and the whole thing is a bit bleak. Them being in this horrible little.
Yeah, they should have just got Oliver in for the end, just to go whatever he did. Gobble 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 gobble. Little ducky ducky ducky.
One of my favourite clips on the whole of the internet, apart from that Irish man when the bat gets into the sitting room, my absolute favourite.
I'll look it up.
Is a man, I don't know where he is, I think he's in Turkey or something, and he calls to a bunch of turkeys out of the window, and he just goes, and 700 turkeys all go back at him, and he becomes hysterical immediately. This is so funny.
Wow.
They're very stupid. They're very stupid turkeys. They don't have a lot of brain going on.
But they can come. They can call.
Yes. So it just... So he set up this bizarre turkey call and response thing.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
It was very funny.
How do you do that noise? Gobble, gobble, gobble. How do you do it?
I'm not telling you. It's the only noise really I can do that you can't. You don't think I'm going to give away my power, do you?
I'm going to listen back and learn it.
Yeah, you will as well. What?
I can't.
You sound like somebody throttling a magpie. Yay! I found a noise you can't make.
I bet that our friend has a sound effect. You see? See? Vero? Okay.
Right.
Oh, should we just... explain that we've had to postpone our pets?
Yes. Pets Win Prizes has gone back a week.
Due to unforeseen circumstances.
Yes. Coughing. Unforeseen coughing.
I mean, I was totally fine, but I can't do any of that on my own.
No.
So I need the full team behind me, in front of me even. Because I just like to linger at the back and not have responsibility for everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're like at a fight. When it's all finished and everyone's been carried away, then you just come up and go, yeah, and pick up whatever coat's left and go home. That's what you do.
Yep, that's what I do.
Now, do you want to hear the most exciting email in the history of exciting emails?
Yes! Yes!
I know you already know it.
I do, but it's really exciting. And we would have saved it for our anniversary episode, but I think that was last week.
Yes.
So,
again, timey-wimey has gone a bit strange, so we're not quite sure where we are. But
this is great.
This is the most exciting email. It is from Liz Danziger. And she says, my friend Olivia introduced me to Ambridge on the Couch about a year ago, though we had previously occasionally spent time discussing the show. I presume she means The Archers. We got into the habit of meeting up to listen to you each week. One thing led to another, and after we had stopped giggling after last week's podcast, I proposed and she accepted!
Oh!
And we blame you three. Thank you so much for, at least partially, bringing us together. Big hugs, Liz Danziger and Olivia Sutton. Yay! Isn't that amazing?
Oh, that is so good.
It's just brilliant.
Congratulations.
I am so excited.
Oh, so fantastic. Such gorgeous news. You told me that a while back and I was so excited.
We
did. It's such lovely, happy, joyful, yes wonderful
and
news.
And to think that listening to us dribbling on was probably... It worked because they thought, oh my God, they're just still talking. So they started talking about something more interesting, which turned out to be a relationship.
Oh, that is so lovely. So A, when is the wedding?
B, Mr. Newbie has asked if he can be bridesmaid.
And C, can I draw a picture?
Yes. Oh yes, so we need... we need...
Do you need a break?
Go out and have a cigarette. That'll do me a power of good. We need a picture of you two, if that's okay.
Yes,
so that
no
Harriet
pressure.
Can do one of her lovely cartoony drawings for you.
Only if they'd like it. And then we can put it on our feed.
Yes. And obviously we want to come to the wedding.
COVID permitting. Yep. I'll make sure Lucy does a PCR test.
Yep.
Before she gets
them. Yeah.
No, no pressure, girls. They've already got married.
I know. They're like, oh my God, are they still talking about that?
Yeah, I know. Can you move on now, please? No, because it's the most exciting thing that's ever happened. I can even see my interface, you know, my knobby knob thing, going hot for it. It's going red because I got excited.
Oh.
You know, the knob. When our levels are too loud.
Yes. See, Harriet's got knob throb now.
I've got a hot knob.
A hot knob.
Oh, look, it's gone... Is that better, guys? Sorry about that. This might be a bit of a blasty podcast.
They might have liked a hot knob. Who knows?
Because we're a bit out of practice with our levels, Lucy.
Well, God, have we ever been in practice? No. Right, Viv Moriarty, who is our correspondent from Beyond Sanity. Dear Captain and Scruff, she says, ooh, Alan is Alan is possessed by Satan, evidenced by singing Coldplay whilst drunk.
Max, that was funny.
Max von Sydow needs to be sent to Ambridge immediately. He and Linda, as God, are impelled to perform an exorcism. I am looking forward to hearing the vicar's head turning 360 degrees. Best, Viv Moriarty. Viv, you're off your head. But we love it. So keep sending.
Alan singing Coldplay was hilarious.
Mm. Right. Katie Anderson was so cross, she sent us two emails about the same thing. Katie Anderson, I am halfway through Sunday's episode. No way would Alan get drunk before a ceremony. No chance. This is even worse than the sentimental cheese fest I was dreading, she says. She then follows it up 2 hours later. Dear Harriet, Lucy, Mr. Newby, I am still annoyed about Sunday. It was ridiculous. Oh no, this is Wednesday. It was ridiculous. Also, after the build-up of the Alan story leading to Oliver having to take the service, did we even hear it? I don't think we did, but I had possibly zoned out, so might be mistaken. But I feel like it jumped straight to Eddie and Clary talking about how lovely their day had been. What a load of old bollocks. Love the podcast, Katie.
What a load of old bollocks. I love the podcast.
Yeah. Katie, you own that anger, darling. You don't need to apologise and tell us that you love the podcast if you are feeling furious. That's fine. And you are right. Perfectly
it just skipped.
Correct.
It skipped from drunken, unbelievable drunken escapade to, and then to nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
To an unbelievable time frame thing where they had 2 hours to get a Eurostar.
Yes. Oh, God. It takes 2 hours to get your cases. Anyway. Right, this is Richard Keeling. Firstly, I would like to RSVP to the live Ambridge on the Couch.
Yay!
I live in Newcastle, but I'm willing to commute to London for what I'm sure will be a fine affair. I even promise I won't grumble about the long journey like Adam grumbled about his 20-mile commute. I'll just eat loads of foam bananas to give me a sugar rush. I'm going to interrupt your email, Richard. Sorry. We're thinking of doing the Harlequin tour. We are saying this without actually checking with anybody. But the
checking where the Harlequin pubs are.
Yes. The Harlequin pub in Sheffield said they would like to have us. So that would be amazing. And I have got very, very happy memories of Sheffield because I did go to university there.
Oh,
so
that'd be nice.
We can do the Harlequin tour. So we can do the Harlequin pub in Islington.
Right.
And the Harlequin pub in Sheffield. And if there are any other Harlequins anywhere that
fancy... I'd quite like one in Edinburgh or something.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Or Monaco. Also Monaco.
God. Yeah. Or the Maldives.
Mm.
Oh, that would be nice. God.
Wouldn't you just love a bit of sun at the moment?
Oh my God, I'd love a bit of sun at the moment.
Does anybody own like an island or something? That
oh my God, surely we know someone who must know someone in Mystique.
Yes.
We must
Mystique
do.
Or Mustique.
Whatever it is.
The band or the island?
the Princess Margaret thing.
The Princess Margaret, where you have to waft around in a caftan with a cigarette
holder. Well, because we're practically royal now. Now the Arches is royal.
Yeah, we are, totally.
You
danced to the man who danced to the woman who danced to the Prince of Wales, didn't you?
I did.
Yes.
And I did a tweet that made it look like I was doing a professional recording.
You did, because everyone messaged me and said, why is Harriet at Clarence House? And I was too off my head and I just went, I don't know.
I basically did that deliberately because I wanted people to think I'd been invited.
Yeah, you are. Why not?
But,
why not?
I just met Toby on a job and got chatting. But it was the next day, so it was really interesting. And he said what a brilliant day they'd had. And I didn't realise that so many of them had gone, because from the photos you think it's just a select few.
Okay.
And it wasn't all the cast, obviously, but it was a lot of them. And he said it was really lovely. And he said Clarence House, it was just like going to, you know, to sort of hang out in her sitting room. And there was champers and lovely food.
Did he still have the aura of the royals about him?
He did.
Did he?
He looked sort of clean and...
Did he?
Sort of, you know, like there was a little light glowing from him.
Oh.
He didn't look hungover or anything.
Oh.
And, you know, he was so jolly.
Wholesome.
And obviously, because it's Toby.
Yeah.
But he was so... enthusiastic about it. Another thing that was nice, it was a reunion for the whole cast.
Oh,
they
yes.
They obviously haven't seen each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They haven't seen each other for ages. And Peggy is 148 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was cut the cake, didn't she? And he said it was such a nice day.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So, well done, everybody.
I wanted people
Carry
to think
on.
That I'd gone.
Yes.
I'm a bit miffed that I wasn't invited.
Why would you have been?
Well, I could have just provided like some other voices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, background artist, I could have been.
Or a turkey noises, maybe. Turkey drowning. That's why.
I think we should do the equivalent of that. We should have our own celebrity. Yeah. And we should do it in somewhere. The equivalent of Clarence House.
Okay.
Which would be... what would it be, Lucy?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Your
I can't
house?
Help you.
I don't know. No,
my house is totally the equivalent of Clarence's house. Absolutely.
No, I feel we should have our own sort of... We could do that on the Harlequin tour, though, couldn't we?
Yeah. Well, just appoint somebody Queen of Ambridge for that day.
Yeah. And we could have like a reception.
Yes.
Couldn't we?
Yes.
You know, we could do some evening events and then we could have a reception.
Black tie. Yeah.
Pink fizz, butlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of
yeah.
Yeah.
Topless butlers. You know, those ones that I just wear the bow tie and nothing else.
Oh my God. No, that is literally cringe. Oh, I had that for my hen night and it was so embarrassing. Because he looked like he was about 12.
Oh.
Honestly, he was an adolescent and he was very nice and very clean and, you know, jolly and
you seem to be quite obsessed about whether or not men are clean, Harriet. Have you had some horrible...
No, I mean, I quite like it when men have dirty fingernails, you know, like that.
Okay. I was you're quite sad that he was clean.
Well, he was just a bit too clean.
Okay.
He came to be a naked butler, but he wasn't...
Naked? What, completely naked?
Yeah, they have an apron on there. You know, they have a sort of thong thing on there. And
I don't think I'd like that. I'd be worried about what he'd use to stir, the, like a swizzle stick, what and he'd use to stir the cocktails with.
And then he started talking about what course he was doing at university, and it just all got a bit
Bless him!
Oh, wow. We all sort of mothered him.
Did you offer to help him with his CV and stuff?
Basically, I think someone was doing that by the end of the night. Yeah, didn't really hit the spot.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But but it's quite fun if you get,
Is that why your wedding was a disaster?
Shush, we don't remember, we don't know who's listening.
Yes. No.
We don't know. No, my wedding was great. It was just, 20 years on, not that I've been married for 20 years, remember, I'm really young. 10 years on, 5 years on, I would do things differently.
Okay.
It was a great wedding.
Like a different groom or what?
Well, all of that, basically. Yeah. You'd do it very differently. I'm listening to these Christmas episodes.
Back to the email. Zip!
Yeah.
While I'm ranting about Adam's ridiculously long and winding commute, where is Natasha's orchard? Is it in Wales? If so, how is she possibly functioning? Driving all that way and doing work, then driving back. Adam has shown once an Ambridge resident crosses the borders, they encounter terrible jet lag. Thinking about this, could that be why she agreed to marry Tom? She was just too tired from the commute to say no.
Well, she was staying there, though, wasn't she?
Yes.
But that whole sort of Hazel's argument of you're working at home.
Everybody's house has been used as a commercial thing.
There's been, Hazel, you've had COVID. There's been a lockdown. So it doesn't really add up, does it? And also she's got, all she would need to do was go, this is my office. It's like, you're allowed, so you're not allowed to do an email from your house?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to get parcel. What if your company is your house?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it's absolute.
Well, I suppose that's what was her point, wasn't it? The company isn't allowed to be registered at your address. But anyway.
He says, when you do a live show, can I please request Harriet records a CD of her doing Jolene doing covers? Her snippet.
Oh, yeah. The album's coming out March 2022.
Her snippet of Who Runs the World had me in stitches. I would
Who
happily
run the world? Not you, Eddie. Who run the world? No, Hazel. Who run the world? Oh, let's forget it then.
I would happily part with my hard-earned cash if it meant I had a Harriet Jolene compilation CD for long car journeys.
Oh my God, Lucy, this can happen. This can happen.
Richard, stop encouraging her for crying out loud. Know what she's like about the singing.
I'm going to get on the garage band later tonight, guys. Jesus. Put down a few tracks. See what we come up with. Who around the world? Yeah. Can't think of any more songs, though. That's the trouble.
What about... you did Lizzo last time, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you do me hair toss. Check my bet. But I always thought that should be Ruth, because she should be like, I do me hay bales, check the sheep. Or, I was thinking...
Check the flock.
Check the flock. David, what you doing?
Now, for those of you that like Harriet's singing...
Is there going to be some singing, Lucy?
We're going to do a pantomime.
Woo! A sort of unbelievable, because it's already the 10th of December.
Yes.
And Lucy hasn't written a single word.
No.
Let alone a song.
But it will have the singing in it. And also Mr. Newbie, when he has got the breath for it, he is going to be doing a bit of the singing too.
Don't give him any long notes.
No. He'll pass out. He'll go purple and there'll just be this massive crash as he hits the deck. And with a special guest appearances from strange, unexpected people. So you can look forward to that. And if anyone's got any ideas about songs that they'd like me to put in the bloody thing.
A pantomime or a song.
Yep. Yes.
Or songs.
And perform it, in fact. That would be super duper.
That would be good, actually, because I'm quite busy waiting.
Yep. Okay. Right. This one is from Christopher Sanderson, who says... I have been listening to The Archers since starting university in 1978, when my roommate got me hooked. I tend to catch up on podcasts while driving long distances for my consultancy work at schools. And on Sunday, I listened to 3 episodes of Ambridge on the Couch back to back while travelling between Ely and Aylesbury. You poor bugger, Christopher. So this email refers back to a couple of episodes. On this occasion, Christopher, it really doesn't matter because time has gone out the window. I really enjoyed your hypothesis of what it would be like if the Queen made a guest appearance on The Archers and then Harriet's impersonation of royalty in the next episode. There is a precedent for the Queen turning up on The Archers, as she would be following in the footsteps of her sister. I remember an episode where Princess Margaret made a guest appearance as a surprise guest at Gay Grables in the days of Jack Woolley and Caroline Bone. Maybe another listener can remember the exact details. I can't, but it might have been an appearance at a charity fundraiser. So maybe we will one day find the Queen turning up in Ambridge.
I know, I keep saying that, don't I? Because, you know, they need to do it ASAP, don't they?
They really do.
I'd love to hear those old episodes of, you know, Princess Margaret, and that would be amazing. I wonder if they still exist. I assume they must exist on a tape somewhere.
I think they do, because I think the Archers posted it recently because it was their anniversary.
What, they had the Princess Margaret one on?
I think so. Just the clip.
Oh, right.
Yes. Because that was the episode, there's the old story, the episode where she said... The producer said, she did her line, whatever it was, and the producer said, that's marvellous, Mum, thank you so much, but would you mind doing it again as if you are really having fun? And she just looked at him dead-eyed and said, yes, but I wouldn't be, would I? I still laugh. Anyway, Richard Lee said, great podcast, you make me laugh and brighten my day. I love the episode where Chelsea cut Blake's hair. I have been listening to The Archers for many decades, and that episode epitomises why I love it.
Aww.
I still wonder if George Grundy is a good person or a thief, a little elf, a long burner. I come originally from Suffolk and would love to hear Harriet attempt an Ipswich accent.
Oh, you've got to be joking, mate.
Norfolk, isn't it?
I learned. Oh, what? I sound like the same.
Well, Are You Got a Light Boy is good. Norfolk, and that's because that was the Norfolk Post, the singing postman sang that
song.
We
had to learn it at drama school. I can't remember what it was. But I think we had to say, I want a bear for a beer.
Oh, really?
And that's all I remember. It's really difficult. Well, it's not, because you don't really hear that accent. And when they do it on the radio, they always just accidentally do a West Country accent instead, don't they?
Yeah.
And I do know an actor, Carl Prekop, who's a
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, he's in everything.
Yeah, because he's brilliant. He's such and he's a director as well now. But he is from Norfolk or Suffolk. Norfolk. And so he does have a genuine Norfolk accent. But you don't hear it very often, do you?
No.
I'd like to hear it more often. I'd like to hear it more often.
Can you?
So I just wouldn't get the job.
One of the guys that my dad used to work with was from Norfolk or Suffolk. And they were driving an enormous lorry round very, very, very tiny country roads in Suffolk. And my dad had finally extricated this enormous lorry from these tiny country roads. And they're trundling along and my dad's thinking, thank God we're out of that. And then this little bloke in the back goes, Mick, I have got to go back. I have left my hat in that shop. And he had to turn this enormous lorry round and seething drive all the way back down these incredibly difficult lanes.
That's good. Anyway. That's good. Accent.
Yeah, that's the only thing. My head.
Is that because you're from a little bit over there?
No.
Aren't you from the Midlands or something?
Yeah.
Well, so it's up a bit. Yeah. And then you just got to go
up
right
and over.
A bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Midlands accents are also really difficult.
Well, everyone just does generic Brummy, don't they? Now, Alex Hodge, who says, can I stop calling him Alexander? Because it feels like I'm telling him off. That's what he says. He's addressed this to the Right Honourable the Baroness Freeman, the Right Honourable the Baroness Carmichael, and Sir Mr. Newby Bart. He has been on holiday in Romania.
Right.
And he found what he says was the Ambridge of Romania. We met the Eddie Grundy of the village, who instead of the cider shed had his own fruit brandy shed, which even included a small bed. He was making twice distilled plum brandy, which he offered to Alex and his friends, and they got plastered. And at 9 a.m, he offered some more of even the more potent variety. He has sent me a picture of the Romanian Eddie Grundy, who is exactly as I imagine. If you could imagine the Romanian Eddie Grundy, that is it. He has offered us a venue in Bolton.
Ooh, that's great, because we could do that on the way to Sheffield.
Yes. My God, this is... Anyway, it's a large shed that forms part of my dad's Christmas tree farm.
Oh, my God. Let's go next week.
I used it as a bit... He's probably a bit busy. I don't think visiting a Christmas tree farm at Christmas is the ideal time.
I know, but it would be like Lapland. It would be so lovely.
No, it's Bolton, love. It's not Lapland. I used it as a venue to host my 40th birthday celebration, which included jumping out of a birthday cake. It will mean you all coming to Bolton, and I'd need to find a good time to ask my dad if we could use it.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
No, he'd love it. Absolutely love it.
Can we all stay in the house?
He did say, I think hosting my 40th put my dad off using it for anything other than selling his trees. Anyway, he said, I don't find Adam hot, but I do put two spaces after a full stop. Well done, Adam. Good boy. Yes, see, Adam is correct. I'm going to post a picture of the Romanian Eddie Grundy after the podcast goes out.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Good
Sunday.
Idea.
Now, do you... Now, Catherine Palazzola...
Hey, ciao, Caterina.
sent us the lounge pants email.
Oh, yes.
I can draw a line down my life now, she says. There's the time before and the time after my two favourites read my email about lounge pants on their podcast. What a thrill to hear my name in such a dazzling Italian accent. Hey. I can't stop now, so I have a prediction for you. My first, I think Amy is going to decide her new calling is to be a farrier. She will apprentice with Chris and they will forge, a romance.
Well, it's interesting you say that because... There hasn't been any Alice, Chris, Amy for ages. So I guess they'll be coming back after Christmas or something.
I mean, it is ridiculous, isn't it?
And how you just completely forget.
Yeah,
when
but
they
as if
been in it.
The entire village has talked of nothing else for months and now no one's, not even a, how is she? Nothing. Nothing.
They're doing a village play, but... You know, no one said, oh, you know, should we have baby Martha?
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, yeah, it's funny how it, when they're out of
you're really out. Yeah. Now, last podcast.
Grazie, Caterina.
Margaret from North Carolina messaged us and said there was nobody that she had to talk about the archers with.
Oh, yes. And then we asked if she had a porch.
Yes. And bless her, she says, she is sending good wishes to anybody, including me and Mr. Newby, who is dealing with COVID. Having had it twice myself, I can confidently attest that I'd prefer an entire weekend with Pat and Tony any time over COVID.
That's saying something. Actually, my sister's got COVID, and actually my brother and all his family have COVID.
Really?
At the moment.
Oh my
God. So actually, not that they listen, but I'll just send a shout out to them. guys, anyone with the COVIDs, get well soon. Thank you.
Virginia is an Aussie expat in New Jersey.
Oh, hi, Virginia.
Which is the same time zone, at least if she's looking for archers.
Oh. Wow, so she's Australian but in New Jersey.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's some
That's
accent.
Harder than Suffolk.
Oh man, not even going to attempt it.
Feel free to pass on my details because if I read correctly, we already both agree that Adam does have a sexy voice.
I love that we're still talking about Adam.
Yep. And she said that she really enjoyed the writing this week. The quip from Chelsea about Mia Grumpy was solid gold. Oh, and I'm excited that Hazel is back. Sending well wishes to one and all. So, yes, if Margaret, if you are still listening and... are still up for it, let me know. If somebody can email me and say that you're all okay, because I don't want to get sued for data protection or something. Because also Audrey Ann Covarrubias, blimey. I have been enjoying the podcast very much. I was very excited to hear that there is another listener in North Carolina. In Raleigh and I'm making myself known. I've been listening since the early 2000s. It would be fantastic to connect another Isla in my area as I only just moved here.
Oh, that's so nice.
I enjoy Megan hearing the answers through the fresh ears of Mr. Newby, and I think Ms. Carmichael and her vocal talents are top notch, she says.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. Pass me that pink lemonade. I'm going to be sitting on that porch.
You're obsessed with the bloody porch. We don't even know anyone's got a porch, you fool.
They live in South Carolina. They must have a porch.
Audrey Ann lives in North Carolina. Virginia lives
in Raleigh.
New Jersey.
Hang on, who lives in Raleigh?
That is in North Carolina, isn't it?
North Carolina.
Yes, I don't know.
As opposed to South Carolina.
Yes.
I think we need to draw a map of where everyone lives.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. I can't keep up with who lives where in the bloody arches. Never mind. That was another question I had for you. Anyway, so I'm getting confused now. Margaret, if you would like Virginia and Audrey to talk to you about the arches, and if you don't want to, that's also fine. You could just email me and we'll just never speak of this again.
Oh, my God, peer pressure.
Yep. Then I will connect all three of you and you can all chunter away till your heart's content, as long as you promise to keep listening to us. Otherwise, that would be a bit sad because
really
we'd lose all three of you. Yes.
It'd be so nice if we could connect people. Lately.
Yes. So we've got pen friends and we've got a
lovers.
Wedding. Marvellous.
We could get a lot of people together.
Yeah. If you've recently died listening to Ambridge on the Couch, just tap twice for yes.
All right.
Yeah.
God, COVID's really got to you.
And now, my question was, somebody was chuntering on in the Archers about who owns Keeper's Cottage.
Yes.
And apparently the last known person that lived there was Richard Locke.
Hang on. I'm confused now. Which one's Keeper's Cottage?
Well, because somebody said
not Bert's Cottage.
No, who lives Ambridge? Somebody said to Natasha, it's not like she even needs that. April Cottage is owned by Kathy Perks. Ha ha ha.
What does Hazel, does who owns that, Peggy or someone?
Yes, because someone said to Natasha, it's not like that's the only property she's got in Ambridge. She could have moved into Keeper's Cottage.
Oh.
But I don't know who.
And anyway, sure. I guess that Tom and Natasha are going to move into Pat and Tony's and all, you know, it's going to be a lot of Christmas tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is going to be quite fun.
Yeah. But I just don't understand who's living there now. Because Richard Locke isn't still in the village, is he?
He left, didn't he? After
she tried to get off with him or whatever happened. But,
He definitely left.
It's very confusing, this.
Yeah, there's a lot of cottages that are just... Who knows who's about? It's like their volcano's ready to erupt, and the character is about to push that door and come and join in the party again.
Well, if the gills would sod off, you could house about 700 people in Home Farm, so that would be good.
You're obsessed with the gills.
I hate it. It's like it's a really nice house. It's smack bang in the middle of the village. It's got, you know, rich poshos in it who are always good for a laugh.
It's a waste.
And we don't know anything about them. It's so annoying.
And also because, like, Jennifer must see them and they must have, snubby noses. And
yes.
Sort of do...
Hello.
Is that time for your... Is it your bedtime?
Yeah. Night. See you later. Don't know what the hell that's for. Oh, God.
Can I just remind everybody that when we started this podcast, which we think was about a year ago today, we think it was around this time in December that we started.
Yes.
And if anybody knows, that would be great. If anyone knows what our anniversary date is, that would be really useful because we haven't got a clue.
We're like a really incompetent couple. It's probably, about Halloween.
Gone through emails. I can't find any evidence that we ever did a first podcast.
That we ever started. Maybe this is all a mirage.
I think it's all a dream. I think it's all your COVID dream. Mm. But we had an interview with Annette Badland, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
With Hazel.
Yes.
So that was a very premonitionary interview.
Yes, yes.
A year ago.
Yes.
And presumably she didn't say, I'm coming back next year.
No, she didn't. She was talking about what a nightmare it was doing TV in COVID, where she had, because she had to do a lot of her EastEnders scenes, the scenes that would have been face to face and quite dramatic, had to then be phone conversations.
Oh god!
And she hated it.
Yeah, that must be horrible. Mm. She's a really good actress, isn't she? Yeah, and it's great they've got her back, actually.
Yep.
And she's got, yeah, she's brilliant.
So, you were right, Mike is coming back.
Yes. Did I say he was?
You said he was. And,
yeah, I said he definitely would.
And we said that we didn't think,
Vicky was.
That Vicky was, and she is not.
Oh, that's so annoying. Mm. No. I mean, what's the point of sending Mike back on his own? Oh, that was Susan, sorry. Hello, Mike. No, but that's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to have Mike.
Yeah.
Miss Vicky.
Yeah.
And I that do. Obviously means we won't hear about Bethany or anything. Yeah. They'll just forget.
Yeah.
I'd like Hayley to come back as well.
Oh, I loved Hayley.
Yeah, I loved Hayley. Why can't she? Oh, because she went to America, didn't she?
Did she?
I mean, in real life.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And yeah, she did stuff out. She did. And then she did that really good show. What was it called? Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, she's done loads of good stuff, hasn't she? Mm. Yeah.
Well, we hope you're having a nice time.
You know who I'd love to come back?
Who?
And who we never, who's basically been also written out of history, Brenda.
Yes.
Amy Schindler.
Yeah.
She was such a good character and so well played.
Yeah, she was.
And she'd be a great sort of, because she had common sense, didn't she? She was like the only young person with common sense.
And also the idea that there's Jamie Perks wandering around the village, not being hit on like a bloody sledgehammer by Chelsea Horobin is just ridiculous, you know.
Oh my God.
The invisible man, the invisible hot single man.
Maybe
you know,
he's the grey man.
Yeah. You don't
he's like we need to talk about Kevin sort of character.
You don't think that that one that wears a hockey mask where he's just got his bloody massive axe wandering around the village chopping things down. You don't think that the grey man is anyone that we know, do you?
I don't know. I hadn't thought that, but now that you mention it, and they did mention him. I guess we'll hear more about the investigation, and we'll probably hear from the other guy, won't we? The guy that got away.
And also, I have one more question, Miss Carmichael.
Yeah?
Miss, why was Harrison back on the case again with Blake?
Because Blake had said, I won't talk to anyone but Harrison.
Oh, so first of all, he would say, talk to anyone but Harrison. And then
in the space of 2 minutes, when Chelsea read out that newspaper article, it changed everything for Blake in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
And suddenly everything became clear.
I quite like the fact that Chelsea stumbled over some quite easy words, but managed to reel off some really difficult ones. Just like that.
But that's hard, isn't it? That's really hard.
Yeah.
When you've got to sound like you can't really read.
Yeah.
I think that's almost an impossible
I did like
job.
It though when he said to her, I'm not very good at reading, and she said, well, I'm not great.
Yeah,
but they
sort of
I think that's why they've bonded those two, because they're not sort of traditional high achievers. They're sort of a bit more off center, and I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a sweet little twist to the tale.
Yes.
I've got a whole bowl of crisps here, and I haven't eaten one because of the microphone.
Are you worried about crunching?
Yeah. Hang on.
Ew! That's like ASMR. Okay. Should we do a bit of scripty, because we've done everything else, I think.
Yeah. Cool.
Now you've got your mouth full. I thought I'd wait until you've... Yeah.
Thanks. And I'm not going to rub it in and tell you how delicious these are.
Don't care.
So mean. And now we cross to Grundy's Field for Eddie's Black Friday car boot sale. Black Friday, that was a long time ago.
I know!
Excuse me, Mr. Two Phones, is it? There's a mistake on your sign there. It says Black Friday car boot sale.
No, Mrs. Smells, no mistake. It's fun. A cheeky way of saying Friday. You know, yay!
I see. Fortunately, I don't consider grammar errors to be fun. May I go in and see what's on offer?
Of course you can. £2 entry.
£2 to go into the Grundy's field? I could look over the hedge for nothing.
Well, go on then. I'm not stopping you. I am, however, stopping you coming in here without £2. Everyone else coughed up. Plus, you won't be able to peruse the amazing Black Friday deals.
Like what?
Sabrina Thwaite's Lexus is packed to the sunroof with designer lingerie. Mrs. Aldridge has got a lot of Moroccan flower pot things. Terrines? Terrapins?
Tagines. I'm not interested in Jennifer's old cookware. And as for buying Sabrina Thwaite's cast-off underwear...
Oh, no, they went straight away. Roy Tucker snapped them up and hurried off, making a funny noise.
Well, none of that sounds very inspiring.
There's some really good stuff. Natasha's here with a train set. Kirsty's given away all her chairs, says she's going to sit on spikes for the rest of her life. A Jim Lloyd's brought down a load of Greek books. Drawings? Know what I mean? Greek, eh?
Oh, for heaven's sake, that's not smut. It's art.
It's art when you like it. It's smut when I do.
Hello, darling. You're coming in? Gracious, Lillian, I shouldn't have thought... Oh, hold on. You've dropped something. It looks like... Is it some sort of electric whisk? Does it work? Yeah, something like that. Leave it, Linda. I'll get it. I've just got to put it through the dishwasher anyway. Although I'm sure Jolene gave it a wipe down before she passed it on. Oh, hello, Elizabeth. Are you off?
Yeah, I had a load of old shit costume jewellery to get shot of. Most of it's gone, and honestly, I'm just so cold standing there in this wind. I think I'll get back to Lower Loxley.
Maybe a PVC Mac wasn't the best choice of winter gear, Elizabeth.
You're probably right, but a car boot seemed so excitingly common and seedy. I wanted to dress the part.
Hence the leather bustier?
What? Oh, no, I was wearing that anyway. Right, I must trot off. I found a lovely dog collar in Lead. Look, it's a present for Vince.
Oh, does he have a dog?
No.
Well, are you going in or what then, Mrs. Smells? If you don't hurry, there'll be nothing left.
I'm really not sure. Is that Oliver over there? What's he doing? He's just sitting on a shooting stick by Eddie's van.
Yes, he's £30 all near offer. You can take him home or we'll store him for you until you're ready for him.
This is terrible. You can't sell Oliver.
You're telling me. He's been here since 9 this morning. His shooting stick's sunk in now. I'm not sure we'll ever get him out.
I'm sorry. I cannot allow that. I'm going to get the police involved.
Good luck with that. Harrisman's over there. He's selling fake IDs, the fingerprint reader from Borchester Nick and all the pills from Freddie Pargister's glove compartment.
Oh, go on then. Here's your £2.
Or was it the fake IDs that tempted you?
No. I've just seen Alistair Lloyd trying on what looks suspiciously like a llama skin coat.
No Mr. Noobs this week, as he is poorly sick with the Rona, so get well soon, Mr. Newbie, and lots of love from us all. There'll be another podcast up next week, so subscribe to us on iTunes.
Hope so, anyway.
And you'll never miss an episode.
Oh, I don't mean to be... Also, I'm not being facetious. I hope everyone knows that. I've also had COVID a long time ago. Oh, do you think I'm sourly mean?
Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
With all the taking the mickey coughing.
Oh, no!
Okay, good.
No, I was genuinely worried that I was going to sound like Hazel Woolley.
I know, but I feel like all I've done is take the mickey out of you for having COVID.
Don't be daft.
Okay, good.
Anyway, please give us a review or I will die on purpose and we will give you big kisses.
Cough on them.
And if you don't give us a review, I will even give you bigger ones and then you will have the Rona as well. And it will be your fault. Ha.
Ha. And in the meantime, if you'd like to contact us, you can email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
We are at On Ambridge on Twitter, or you can follow Mr. Newbie, who probably needs the company, to be honest, on Twitter, @NewbieCouch.
Have you noticed I'm actually a bit croaky today?
No.
But I just did a lateral flow test, because I've got a sore throat today.
Oh. Mm. Have you been screaming for computer games?
No, I haven't.
Have you just been screaming anyway?
I've just been screaming at children.
Ah.
But no, I've got a sore throat, so I did a lateral flow, but it's fine. But just so you know, there definitely will be a podcast next week.
Oh, God.
There will. But all my parties have been cancelled.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's like, come on, guys. We've all had the Rona. Let's just go party. It's really annoying. They're like media parties, like networking. In hotels. Okay.
Networking in hotels. That's yeah, what we're calling some, it now, is like, it? Good,
I had some, like, like proper parties, like Clarence House parties booked in. Not at Clarence House, obviously.
Wow. And they've all been cancelled?
All been cancelled. Oh, never mind. It means I can stay in, which is always good.
That's your favourite thing anyway.
It is. It really is. It really is. But, you know, I'm like, if it's like networky, I have to go.
I don't mind being there. I don't like getting there and I don't like getting home again.
What you've got to do is go straight after work so you can't go to your house first. Yes. Because otherwise it's awful.
Once I take my bra off, it's all over. There's no way that's going back on again.
And once you see your dear little untidy house with all its coziness.
And your slippers.
You leave it? And your slippers. And like, and a nice meal and yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard. Mm. It's goodbye. And it's so nice to be back.
It is nice to be back.
And thanks for having us. And see you next week.
And if anyone else would like to get married, let us know.
Oh, please. Oh, and congratulations.
Yes.
I think we should play a song.
What should
we play? Could Jolene sing? Something like romantic. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Come on, everybody. Just me then. Go to the chapel and we're... Chelsea? Nope. Okay. Gonna get...
Oh, do you want to know what we're really playing out with, apart from you?
Is it something Baroque?
Yes. No, it's not Baroque. Matt has sent us a Dave Brubeck version of...
Matt's on fire.
I know. Of the Ambridge theme. So we're going to have... so it's like Take Five, but it's called Hello You Two instead.
That's amazing.
So I'm going to play that in now. Bye.